Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Taste of Room Radio, year 14. We started in a studio, in a barn, on the Naramata Bench. We now find ourselves in Nanuse Bay, Vancouver Island. I certainly won't take up a lot of your time with this introduction because I think you might know both of the wineries we're going to be interviewing today. Zach Brown, Julie Powell at Alderley in the Cowichan Valley have taken what was a great vineyard and made it even better. And that's the story we're going to tell you. And then we're going to taste their spring wines, including one that Julie made in the memory of her mother. And then we're going to head for Mount Boucherie, not only the winery, but the mountain. The one that Mission Hill is on, right below it is Mount Boucherie. And it's the home of Jeff Hundertmark, who I first met in Niagara. And we talked about making wines in BC, and he had some questions, and I could tell he was interested in coming. Well, he did, along with his beloved. He's now in charge of and overseeing the wines being made at Mount Boucherie. They make many. Rust Wine Co. Also, Modest Wines. So, three different labels, but the same sort of smarts going into them. So we'll talk to winemaker Jeff Hundertmark in the second half of this special. These are our spring wine specials for 2021. It's almost normal. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing. Their new spring wines are now available for sale and in the tasting room. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I received from Alderley. It was their wine. I just wanted to taste what they were up to. I wanted to know if my initial thoughts and heart were right, that they were really onto something, that they were actually making outstanding wines on Vancouver Island. Zach Brown, Julie Powell, hello, how are you?
Hello, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
What kind of feedback are you getting now that you're making your own wine? You're doing exactly what you set out to do, starting with you, Julie.
You know, I would say overwhelmingly positive. I might let Zach share a little anecdote for some feedback that we had recently, but I see most of the, pretty much everyone that comes through the tasting room, and that's, you know, people are right there. You can't sort of run away from what they think of your wine. You can tell pretty quickly how well it goes over. I very often have people taste the wines and say, they look a little perplexed at the end of the flight, and they go, but I like all of the wines. You know, I mean, it's unexpected, you know, as I say, we're a young wine region, but generally speaking, really, really positive. And you know, our wine list, which is our kind of wine club clients, you know, continue to come back and buy the wine and buy more of it and tell us, you know, tell their friends about us. So overwhelmingly positive.
Zach?
Not only have we sort of get good feedback from our customers, but we've looked to sort of knowledgeable people in the industry to try our wines and let us know. So we competed in both the Wine Align Canadian Nationals and the All-Canadian Wine Championships, and we've done pretty well in those. We won a double gold medal, best in Canada, for our Sauve Blanc last year, and our Pinot Gris continues to pick up medals every year. So, you know, and our Pinot Noir did pretty well. So that's kind of getting professional tasters to try your stuff and know how you sit in amongst the rest of the Canadian wine industry, which is pretty positive. And then, you know, we've had a few people like the John Schreiners of the world and a few people like that have reviewed our wines and given us very good feedback. And so that's all good. I mean, bottom line, it comes down to are the local people getting excited about our wines, and, you know, are people ordering it in restaurants when they're open? And are we seeing it really start to move in the liquor stores? Absolutely. So it's that local support that's the main feedback. But there's one particular piece of feedback that we got. The original owner of Alderley, Roger Dossman, who's not exactly known for effusive praise, called me up. We always, when we do a bottling, we always give him a mixed case for free of the stuff we just bottled. And he called us up and said, that's the best white wines you've made yet. And even better, he came in and bought a couple of cases of it with his own money. So that was better than winning any gold medal to get his endorsement.
I asked him questions, but he asked me questions about the reception of his wines. Basically, he was out in front in terms of winery owners and makers on Vancouver Island. He wanted to know about Pinot Noir. He was convinced that Pinot Noir had a place on Vancouver Island, and he was going to lead the charge. And he did. And he did. So my question is, what kind of winery did they leave you when you purchased it? What kind of shape was it in, and what did you want to add?
Well, the winery itself and the vineyards could only be described as immaculate. Like Roger and his wife Nancy were both just meticulous, you know, keepers of this place. I mean, the vineyard has been described by John Schreiner and others as like soldier cadets marching in a row. It was so neatly kept and so healthy. And I think the winery and the wines themselves sort of reflected that incredible attention to detail that Roger and Nancy had.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're having great conversation with Julie Powell and Zach Brown from Alderley in the Cowichan Valley. Remind people where Alderley is.
So we're just slightly north of the town of Duncan itself. We're sort of parallel with Avril Creek and Emmendar as far as where we are. Just on the other side of the highway.
It's a beautiful spot on the earth.
It is a gorgeous spot. Couldn't ask for a nicer place to be.
It is beautiful.
And Alderley itself, we've got kind of a magic little spot here. We're kind of at an 8-degree slope above a lake. It's perfectly south facing. So you really couldn't ask for a better location to grow grapes.
Julie, let's talk about the tasting room for just a second. I know that that locals, actually, we had a running conversation with Island winemakers for many years about, are you happy just to sell out to locals, or do you want to expand what you're doing? So I've found that some of the wineries were very happy to just sell to the locals, and that's it. That was their acceptance. But others, such as yourself, you wanted to reach out. You wanted to find out if Victoria would pour you, if Vancouver would pour you, if BC would pour you. So tell me about your tasting room experience and people who are attracted to Alderley.
Yeah, well, I think, as I say, we inherited a model from Roger and Nancy that sort of had expansion out as far as kind of the lower mainland, heavily focused in restaurants and private liquor stores. And it was somewhat a bit challenging because our wines, particularly the whites, would consistently sell out. So it did mean sometimes when people came to the tasting room, you know, the wines were completely allocated. Obviously, through COVID times, that model has changed a little bit has been challenged. And certainly we've seen over the last 12 months, as have many local businesses in other industries, that the locals have really been there for us. And, you know, we feel that there's just so much potential still on this island. We don't want to kind of cut anything off. You know, we're certainly interested in anyone who's interested in our wines. But at the same time, you know, we really want to develop that local and build on that local market first. And if we could sell all of our wine on Vancouver Island, I'd be thrilled. I'd be perfectly happy to do so. We think it's far from being saturated. You know, Canada is probably the only wine-producing country out there where people drink more imports than they do domestic wines. You know, unlike France or, you know, Australia, South Africa, and so forth, they generally sell, you know, more. People buy their domestic wine more so than imports, but not Canada. So huge potential, and just huge potential on this island.
Well, it would help if people would screw their heads on right in Ottawa and realize that BC would absolutely kill in Ontario. And Ontario would do well here. I mean, we're not in Prohibition. It's not 1928. It's stupid. And it's ridiculous that you can ship your wines to, say, Oregon, but you can't ship them to Alberta, for example. I mean, this is all going to change, but don't get me going. It drives me.
It would be nice to see some more support from the BC wine industry, from the BC government liquor stores, and move from a 8% shelf space allocation up to around at least 30%. That would be a nice first step.
That would be a nice.
In BC.
That's asking a lot, but perhaps in our lifetime it would be nice. I want to ask you about your whites that I thoroughly enjoyed and poured for friends last night, just to remind myself of how good these wines were. The 2019 Bacchus and the 2019 Valerie. The Bacchus, how old are those vines?
Those are some of the oldest vines on the island. They were planted in '93 or '94. They're like big, gnarly, huge trunks on them. They're just beautiful old vines.
and remind people of what Bacchus would remind them of.
Well, Bacchus is very closely related to Riesling. It has two Riesling parents, so it's got that similar, you know, crisp, lean aromatics and floral character.
It also has a wonderful long finish.
Mm.
That's what you want.
Yeah, I learned to make wine in the Czech Republic about 80 kilometers from Vienna in Mutenica and in the Moravian Valley, and they make a lot of Riesling there. So it's kind of where the foundation of my approach to Bacchus comes. There's a lot of lees aging, so you get that nice mid palate, and that gives it a long finish as well.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're having great conversation with Julie Powell and Zach Brown from Alderley in the Cowichan Valley. Julie, is it true that you constructed the Valerie that was your first project?
Yeah, I did. It was inspired by my late mom and with some coaching from Zach. Kind of really got my feet wet, and it was a great opportunity to try a few things out and to try a new blend and for us to come up with a new wine.
Mm.
So it was exciting.
Did you know that Ortega was going to primarily carry the wine?
Yeah, I think just from, we don't have a lot of Viognier, we don't produce a lot of Viognier, so we really saw it as a something to complement, you know, 20-30% possibly, depending on what we could source as something to pair with it. So that's really where the kind of the blend came.
And tell me about the blending democracy at Alderley.
Blending democracy.
Yes.
Say more about that.
Because you are a couple, you know, and you're going through this experience in life together, and you have to deal with each other first thing in the morning, last thing at night. But when you blend a wine, it's very personal.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, we do, like anyone, we do test blends, right? So, and it's really, it's the proportions as well. So we did, like any of the other blending that we've done together, is to sort of look at the right proportions and which one really nails it, which one, you know, brings about the best of both grapes, you know, because that's really what you're trying to
sure.
do. You don't want to mess with it too much. You just want to find out where are they both showing their best and how can they bring the best out in each other. And that's really what we strive for.
You know, there's nothing better than to make a wine with your mom's name on it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Julie's being modest, too. Her first vintage of the Valerie, the 18, won a gold medal right out the gate at the All-Canadian Wine Championships. And her second vintage won a silver. So that's not a bad for a 1-2 effort.
Not bad. Not bad for a tractor driver.
Yeah, you know, I just do this. It's just my side hustle.
did she get to taste it?
Sadly, no, but she was certainly the inspiration behind it, we definitely had her in mind when we were putting together the blend. So 80% Ortega, 20% Viognier, and so we grow the Viognier here. We have a little bit left from an original planting that Roger put in, and then we source the Ortega from another Cowichan Valley grower. So whilst it's not 100% Alderley, which is part of the reason why we called it Valerie, it is 100% Cowichan Valley, and we just find that the Viognier just adds so much character to the Ortega, and just really gives the wine not only a beautiful nose, but just a really nice full palate.
I'd like to see more single varietal Viogniers on Vancouver Island, but that's just me. I'd also like to, by the way, Zach, I'd like to see more Gamay on Vancouver Island. I think it would do well here.
Yeah, we've planted about 3 years ago. We had a couple of rows that needed, you know, sort of infilling, and so we planted those rows with Gamay as a bit of an experiment to see how well it does for the future.
And?
Well, so far so good, and certainly there is some good Gamay produced here in the valley.
Sure.
I know Gary Diol grows some, and Blue Grouse makes a lovely Gamay rosé.
They do. The Pinot Gris, Julie, tell me about the Pinot Gris. I know it's a favorite in the tasting room.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we do a skin contact style of Pinot Gris, so ours is just a little bit pink or a little bit copper colored. Technically, though, it's still a white wine. Essentially, we when the grapes are crushed and destemmed, we allow the juice to sit on those the skins overnight. And of course, when a Pinot Gris grape is ripe, whilst it's a white grape, it actually has a dusty rose color to it. So just that 24 hours, just overnight, the wine picks up not only this lovely color, but more importantly, it really bolsters the flavors and the aromas. So I call it a Pinot Gris with a bit of chutzpah, because there's an awful lot going on there. Really bright, fruitful nose, and just makes for a lovely, lovely food wine as well for pairing.
But what are you doing? I love listening to you explain your passion for these wines. What is it that you're doing that makes them stand out? Is there a trade secret? Have you discovered something? What's going on?
Oh, I'll have to pass over to Zach for that one.
I think there's something to be said for the owner, winemaker, grower model, where Julie and I, you know, we work closely together and we manage the vineyards and we make the wines. A simple example is Julie runs the tractor during harvest and runs the harvest crew, and I'm on the crush pad, and so I can say to Julie, "Hey, Julie, can you guys pick these three rows, and I'll go to direct press with those, and then these three rows, you know, I'll do some skin contact with them because I know that, you know, they're on the outside and they got a little more sun, so they're a little more riper, and those sort of things." So we have that, like, A, knowledge of every single row in the vineyard, B, real easy communications, and C, just we both have the same vision for where the wines are going.
Exactly, and I had the same conversation 2 weeks ago with Dylan and Penelope Roche at Roche Wines.
Their wines are fantastic.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah. They are really good, and it's exactly the same model. One of them does this, one of them does this, and they get together, and it's a combined a passion and a dream that comes together in the bottle. It just shows. I love the model that you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, we do everything from pruning to harvest, so the two of us know every row and almost every vine, and that I think that does translate into the bottle.
I'm glad that you like their wines.
They're really nice people too.
Julie Powell and Zach Brown from Alderley, LEA. In part two, we're going to talk about the reds from those wonderful vines in the Cowichan Valley. And in the second half of this show today, we're going to head to Mount Boucherie and Rust and Modest Wines, because they're all made by Jeff Hundertmark from Mount Boucherie. We'll be right back with Zach and Julie right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing. Their new spring wines are now available for sale and in the tasting room. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're having great conversation with Julie Powell and Zach Brown from Alderley in the Cowichan Valley. Let's talk about the reds for a second. Julie, are you going to jump in here on some of these? Because I know that you love your wines, right? How far have you come in terms of changing career?
Oh, it's been a big, it's certainly been a big change and a new career, essentially. I guess there was always wine in the background, though. You know, I was always, even from our days making wine, you know, as garagiste, I would often, you know, share our wine with friends and so forth. And they were always a little bit impressed because, you know, you find out it's made at home, people are always a little bit leery. But once they tasted it, I think the proof was in the pudding. So I think in the background, it wasn't super surprising, but I think people definitely knew we had it in us, so to speak.
Julie,
I think we made the best wine ever made in an East Van garage.
Are you still garagiste, really, when it comes down to it?
I think, you know, at our size, we're like 2,000 cases.
Exactly.
And, you know,
that's
everything is so hands-on, like we've spoken, and it's just the tanks are slightly bigger.
Yeah, no, you're garagiste. You're good. It's good. It's good to go, because I'm very comfortable around garagiste. Let's talk about your Pinot Noir for a second, because you sent me a 2016 Reserve Pinot Noir and the 2018 Pinot Noir. I love the differences, but the differences are always better. They're never worse. What's the total production in terms of Pinot? And are you a Pinot house?
I wouldn't say we were a Pinot house. We're making a couple hundred cases of that. But we hope to expand that soon. We're absolutely passionate about Pinots, but in terms of volume, it's not our main production. We make a lot more Pinot Gris than we do Pinot Noir. We also grow Merlot and Maréchal Foch and a couple other reds.
Sure,
as well.
We'll get to those guys, but I mean, you were handed some in the changeover. You looked at those rows of Pinot Noir and went, "That's fantastic," and we do want Pinot Noir from you, I'm sure, but I guess we're more things you wanted to grow.
Yeah. I mean, the Pinot is pretty special here. We've got four of the sort of Dijon clones, so your 667, 777, 113, 115. Those are pretty much the standard default Pinot Noir clones all up and down North America.
Way to go, Roger. Yep.
But we also have two Alsace clones. And the difference between the Alsace clones and the typical Burgundian clones is the bunches are a bit bigger, the berries are slightly larger, but from a winemaking point of view, what really makes a difference is the skins are almost twice as thick as they are in a normal Pinot Noir bunch. And so our Pinots are a little darker, they're a little more tannic, they've got a little more masculine character, for lack of a better description, just a little more going on, and they're certainly not... a little more sort of lighter and more ethereal, typical of Vancouver Island. So ours are a little on the heavier side for Vancouver Island.
Zach Brown, Julie Powell, they are Alderley. I love your Pinot. I just love your Pinot. And I would love to taste the Pinots around you to see what else they're doing in the county. It's well done. Well done, especially that reserve. That's fantastic. Is there any left?
There is a little bit.
Okay. By the way, Julie, I'm going to ask you to do price points in a minute, so be prepared. Sure. Tell me about the 2016 Matrix. First of all, I love the fact that it's 2016. That you've got huge amounts of cassis and berries, ripe berries, like black, really ripe berries, and currants and things going on in there. Tell me about the blend.
Yeah, well, historically, the Matrix, when we took over, was typically a blend of Cabernet Foch and Cabernet Lieb, so two earlier ripening hybrid daughters of Cabernet Sauvignon. Of course, we can't grow Cab Sauv here in this climate, but the hybrids do quite well. And then when we took over, we tasted the 2014, which was the vintage in tank at the time, right, and thought it was good, but a little bit austere. And Zach, in his infinite wisdom, thought maybe a bit of vinifera grape would help. So added about 15% Merlot and also put some of it in newer French oak for about 6 months. And we loved the outcome. So for the 2015 and subsequently 2016 vintages, we blended 20% Merlot into those. And again, a little bit, about 30% new French oak for up to a year. And we just found that it just brought the blend together. You know, the hybrid's nice, bright up front, long finish. And the Merlot really gave the wine a nice middle. And just some nice balanced tannins. The oak is really well integrated. Just an excellent food wine. Yeah. It was something a little bit more robust. You know, you're going to pair that with lamb or venison or something, just because it's got that kind of body. And it's quite impressive to have, you know, a wine that big, 100% estate grown, you know, no Okanagan fruit in that. It's an island wine.
You well done, and you took the words right out of my mouth, because there's a center core to it, right smack dab in the middle of your mouth. You can't possibly miss that Merlot. It's fantastic. It's really good.
Yeah,
really.
And just frankly, brings the blend together.
Frankly, I wish somebody would be doing a little Petit Verdot around you. That's just me. That's just me, Zach. That's just me. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, we grow some Merlot here, and I think that's that's pushing the frontiers of growing those bigger Bordeaux varietals.
Sure.
I'm not sure Petit Verdot might be a bridge too far.
Zach Brown, Julie Powell, they are Alderley. All right, the clarinet. That's Ovine Foch?
Yeah, the clarinet was sort of the first real big red of Vancouver Island, and it's 100% Maréchal Foch. So those vines are the oldest vines we have in the vineyard. And when it comes to making Foch, It's not a grape that really does well with a heavy-handed winemaker. The longer you extract Foch, you start to get some of that seed character, and it starts to pick up this kind of metallic, funky character, which you can see in some over-extracted Foches. So I like to bring that in and then inoculate it with yeast right away, get the fermentation going as fast as I can, get the temperature up, put it in insulated fermenter, and then I'm pressing after only about 6 days. I mean, Foch is so dark that one time I dropped the thermometer in the bin of fermenting Foch, stuck my hand in there, and it was purple for a week. So you don't need 2-3 weeks to, you know, or even 10 days fermentation. So we press it after about 6 days, which before the alcohol level gets up and you start to get some of that seed character, and then let it finish fermenting in the tank, and it keeps all those big blackberry, cassis kind of notes. And so it's a very fruit-forward, almost like a low-tannin Syrah or Carmenere.
Zach Brown, Julie Powell from Alderley. Julie, if I walk into the tasting room, Canada Day, am I going to get to taste contraband?
Probably not.
What?
Because it's a 2018, but once we wanted to sit, once it's in bottle there, we wanted to rest a little bit, so it has a chance to really, really show well. And also, you won't walk into our tasting room. You'll need an appointment. Sorry about that.
But wait a minute. What changed today? There was a government directive came down today. Did anything change for you?
Not really. I mean, we've had really good COVID protocols in place for some time now, basically since this whole thing started, and yet we've tried to keep the customer experience as possible, you know, as normal as possible, and make sure that people have a good time and feel safe, and they're in a, you know, an environment where they can really enjoy the wine. So
okay,
small groups,
all right.
Single bookings.
So when does contraband come out?
Well, I can see
the handoff.
I mean, I'd like it to come out as soon as possible, but we'll keep tasting it. When it tastes like, you know, it's past bottle shock, then okay. We'll release it.
And what's in that bottle?
That's a little bit different. It's almost the inverse of the Matrix. So it's 70% Merlot and about 20% Cab Foch and 10% Cab Lieb. And it definitely got a sort of a lot more new French oak than we're typically using, and just a lot more time. So it's a 2018. Here we are, 2021. So it's just had a lot more time, a lot more focus, and we left those rows of fruit to just really, really hang as late as we dared.
And what was that late date? Was it October?
Yeah, it was well into October.
Nice.
I'd have to look at my notes, but it was like, you know, well into October.
Beautiful.
Before, you know, the island here, you kind of let things hang as late as you dare because somebody turns on the rain switch at about the 16th of October and you could lose everything.
That's
so
right.
As late as we dared.
That's right. Zach Brown, Julie Powell, they are Alderley. All right. So, Julie, what's going on with the tasting room? Do we make reservations?
Yeah. You can call us, text us, send us a Facebook message, email us, and take groups of up to six at a time, and as I say, it's a nice intimate experience. You can come check out some of our First Nations artwork and taste some estate grown wines.
And how's the food program going, Julie?
No food program.
I know. I was hoping that there would be.
No, just focus on the wines. You know, we're actually really well served here in the Cowichan Valley, and I'd give this nod to our neighbors. There's a lot of people doing some really nice, creative things that beautifully complement their wines, and we just think for now we'll just focus on the wines. It's just the two of us, you know, with a bit of seasonal help in the vineyard and such. And so you're gonna meet us. You're gonna meet me. You're gonna meet Zach. Maybe you're certainly gonna meet Vino, the Red Healer. She's gonna greet you loudly and enthusiastically. So that's the kind of experience you're gonna have.
Let's do some price points. 2019 Bacchus.
Bacchus is $21.40. That's all tax and deposit included.
$21.40. The Valerie.
$23.10.
The Pinot Gris.
Same. $23.10.
Well done. The Pinot Noir 2019.
The regular Pinot Noir is $26.
Okay. The Reserve.
$39.80.
The Matrix.
$24.25.
The Clarinet.
$24.25.
The Contraband. When it gets here.
The Contraband is $34.60.
Julie, how about the Sauv Blanc?
2425.
Okay. Wonderful. And the Merlot.
26.
Is the Merlot on the shelves now?
Yes, it's the 2017.
2017.
It's a really limited release on that one.
Okay. I'm just
well, we divert some of the Merlot into the Matrix and Contraband program, yes. So that cuts into the
numbers.
Well, the diversion is the trick. That's the deal. You have to find that balance. And you have to pay the bills, and you have to put the wines down, and all sorts of things. And you're perfectly suited for it. And I congratulate you on taking this winery and making it even better, very much better. And I will follow your story as much as I can, simply because I believe in you guys, and I think you are to be congratulated and celebrated.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Terry. We appreciate it.
Julie, what's the website?
AlderleyVineyards.com or Alderley.ca. We actually have a few, but just AlderleyVineyards.com.
Thank you very much, both of you.
All right. Thanks, Terry.
Zach Brown, Julie Powell. They are Alderley. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of 4 wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewürztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock, with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. My thanks to Zach and Julie at Alderley for hosting us on the phone. I love that. Love that a lot. We're leaving the Cowichan Valley, and we're heading for, well, 3 different areas of the Okanagan, but we're starting at the home base of Mount Boucherie, and the director of winemaking, head winemaker, chief winemaker, winemaking assistant, tractor driver, Jeff Hundertmark. Was it 2 years ago you got there?
3 years ago now.
3 years ago from Niagara, right. Have you seen anything of that size, that operation in Niagara?
Oh, I'd seen it, but I'd never been a part of it for sure. Yeah. The largest I did was 20,000 cases. And between all the different brands here, we're doing, 35,000, upwards of 40,000 at the moment, with the possibility of doing up to 60 at some point with our vineyards once they come all online.
How wide is the portfolio now, Jeff?
As wide as the ocean.
well, the last number that I heard was they had some 300 acres. They might have even added to that by now. So that's a lot of fruit, a lot of juice.
Yeah, we've got about 300 acres total, but only about 200 of them are planted. So we still have some room for growth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, if you want growth, friends, listen, you can start to make notes, or you can go back to mulliganstew.ca and Tasting Room Radio, because we're going to mention a lot of wines in the spring releases from Mount Boucherie, from Modest Wines, and from Rust Wine Co. Starting with, Mount Boucherie, Mount Boo. How many different SKUs do you have in there? You have original vines, right?
Yep, so the original vine SKUs are, there's 6 different varieties for that. 6, did I count that right? Let's see, Goo, Chardonnay, Semillon,
wow.
Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and PTG. Yeah, so there's 6.
You have cheat notes. Listen, you sent me a very handsome 2020 Goo, Gewürztraminer.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, in a dark but it's a dark bottle. Normally, the Restomeiner comes in that tall, elegant French thing. What were you trying to say with the bottle, and what did you want to say with this wine?
We don't say anything traditional about just about anything here. A lot of the bottle shapes were chosen based upon what the packaging looks is going to look like, and we basically with the original Vine series, we kept with two bottles, bottle types and bottle sizes. One being the sort of a heavyweight, medium heavyweight Burgundy, and one being medium heavyweight Bordeaux.
Sure.
And wax finish on all of them. We have that really nice pliable white wax. It's easy to take off compared to some of those old ones. But that was the whole idea, was just to sort of keep uniform packaging for wines that could go into Burgundy and or Hock bottles, the Riesling shaped bottle. And then the other bottle, anything that would go into a Bordeaux shaped bottle, we would do that.
Yeah. These old vines are from Gewurztraminer plantings on the Golden Mile Bench, is that correct?
Yeah, so we've got those. That one planting in the Golden Mile was planted back, I believe, 73 was
nice.
The vintage date.
Okay.
That's when they were originally planted. So obviously there's been replants since then, but that's where that section of grapes goes back to. And they're really definitely that old, gnarly kind of style of vines. They look their age for sure.
Sure. You know, just a reminder, Jeff, that if we're going to get through all of these wines with the remaining time we have, we only have time for questions, not answers. Okay. I just want to, if we can set that in motion. So the original vines, the 2020 Semillon, see, I'm a huge Semillon fan. And to see it just a single varietal like that was fantastic. It's from Okanagan Falls?
Yep. From Okanagan Falls, our Lost Horn Vineyard. Beautiful, beautiful section of vines there. That one's about, I'm going to say 1990 is the vintage of that one.
Right. What I like about the labeling is that you actually you don't just say the Lost Horn Vineyard, you say Block 12. You're saying exactly where these wines came from.
Yeah, so we have two blocks in that vineyard of Semillon, both pretty old, but that block is the oldest one, the one that planted in 1990. That was the Block 12.
Okay. And the Summit, this Bordeaux blend of yours, 2018, fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Planted in 93, 96, and 97. So they've been around. These are very happy vines.
It's always predominantly Merlot, around 50%.
Yeah, Merlot driven.
Cabernet Franc, Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, and then a little bit of Malbec.
Listen, can you tell me, just so we can, for the record, some of the price points we're going to be talking about here. How much is that goo?
That goo is $30.
Okay, the Semillon?
The Semillon's 30 as well.
Yep, Summit?
And then Summit's the big one, that's $60.
$60. The 2019 PTG from the Similkameen, Lazy River, Gamay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. That's a real personal favorite of mine. I've been floating that one for a couple of years, and finally found a place that would allow me to actually make it as a wine. So we have a block of grapes in that vineyard that are all close touching each other, and all the sort of the convergence of the three vineyard blocks, they come together and form PTG. So we actually farm that as potential PTG. And then bring it all in as a field blend into the winery and process it all together and ferment it together.
I wrote down field blend FB right underneath the name. I'm thinking because there's a certain pocket that you hit with this blend. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm really really proud of that one. That's definitely my go-to when I'm. When I'm sitting at home thinking of something to go with my steak or my burger, every time I pull out the PTG.
What's the price point?
That was $35.
Okay. This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We are rapidly running out of time here with Jeff Hundertmark, and we have a lot of wines to go. He is the director of winemaking at Mount Boucherie, Rust Wine Co., and Modest Wines. Now, let's switch, if I can. Modest Wines, the idea behind Modest Wines was a second label within Mount Boucherie?
Yeah, it was basically designed to be an experimental ground for the team here to kind of pursue different winemaking techniques that either we've seen in tradition or, you know, some of the newer styles of winemaking that are coming out. And it's really all about experimentation and just trying some different grape varieties we don't normally grow. It's a real fun time, and the guys really get behind it. It's really a pet project for all of us, and they were designed to be an accompaniment to the restaurant here.
Actually, you also supplied some great liner notes on the back of the labels. A momentous Similkameen grown Zinfandel. This is the Zed's Dead. And it talks about the great winter freeze of 2019 and 2018. Anybody who's making Zin is okay by me in the valley.
It is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Of course, you know, we've got the Zinfandel with our Rust winery, and that will never change. That wine will always be there. But the Zinfandel we had growing for Mount Boucherie came from the Similkameen. And we had that real big frost, cold snap that came through and basically wiped out the entire an entire block of Zinfandel and Syrah from that vineyard. And so last year we had our in the Modest Wines, we had the last hurrah, Syrah, which was a rosé. Yep. And then this year, our last hurrah is called Zed's Dead. And that's in reference to the Zinfandel finally gasping its last breath.
You sent me a Samsov. That's the first thing I opened. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I've lost the bottle now because that was like 5 months ago, or it feels like it. What was the label on that?
So the name for that one is called La Grave Robber.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That's in reference to obviously to stealing the idea of putting Sauvignon and Sem together from the Grave region in France. And then the La portion, the La Grave Robber, that's in reference to La Mission de Aubrion, from a very famous Grave producer in France. And so that's what that's all about. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's got partial barrel fermentation, barrel aging on there.
No, Jeff, it's fantastic. It's unbelievably good. It's so yummy. I'm going to buy a case. Now, how much?
Gotta get it quick because it's going.
Yeah, how much? What's the price point?
The price point of Grave Robber, I think, is $27.
Okay.
$26.95 or something like that.
The 2020 Rosé, is it a blend?
No, it's Pinot Noir.
Okay. I'm loving it. How many cases?
Yeah, that one's another good one.
How many cases?
225, I think, was the number.
All right, see,
and then that one sells for about $25.
Thank you. I hold in my hand the Sangio. The incredible, by Jove, the Sangiovese 2019 from Modest Wines. Super Okanagan was handpicked, and the black sage bench with aromas of wild sage filled the air and smoke. the Sangiovese, how long have these vines been in the ground?
You know what? I'm not really sure. So that's the Ferrera vineyard down in Black Sage Bench.
Exactly.
I'm not sure when they planted those, but we get the Sangiovese. We get some Carmenere from them. So we're kind of an exclusive buyer of theirs for those great varieties.
Nice.
And then we also get some Syrah and some Cabernet Franc. So this Super Okanagan, we call it, is a ripoff of a Super Tuscan from
okay.
Italy.
Okay.
So it's Sangio with a little bit of Cab Franc and a little bit of Merlot in there, about 2.5% each of those.
Did we talk about the Elder Vicar, the Battle in a Bottle?
We didn't. Not yet.
Muscat, Pinot Gris, and Gou, and Riesling.
So the four big varieties of Alsace. So it's meant to be our noble blend from Alsace.
What's the price point on the Elder Vicar?
That one's $22. Not going to set you back too much.
I wrote down, I was getting, because I realized that the box was not even begun to be opened. It's really good. It's very good. The Elder Vicar.
And
the
that's a real favorite around here for sure.
And the price point again?
That was $22.
Okay, I think we're done with this first segment. We've already taken 15 minutes to do it. How about that?
That's not bad.
This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan with Jeff Hundertmark. He is the director of winemaking at Mount Boucherie, Rust Wine Co. and Modest Wines. Now we're going to head for Rust Wine Co., which is down south. It's you're not in Mount Boucherie anymore. You're out of the plant and headed down south. And we're going to be talking about, strangely enough, Syrah. Syrah. What's that one over there? Syrah. Three bottles of Syrah. Yeah. Very, very crazy. We'll be right back. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewurztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. All the details at EnricoWinery.com. He is Jeff Hundredmark. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is part two of our conversation. We did some quick stepping through Mount Boucherie original vines, the spring releases for Modest Wines in that Mount Boucherie complex. And as the director of winemaking, he also is in charge of the gang down at Rust Wine Co. on the Golden Mile bench. Qualifies as Golden Mile, yes?
Yes, sir.
And thank you for doing this. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for, the 30 pounds of wine that showed up at the front door.
No worries.
Just when I thought I had all my bases covered. What I want to do before we go any further, Jeff, because I think it's important that the wine fan out there knows about price points. So on the Modest Wines, the Sem Sav again was how much?
27.
The Rosé?
25.
The Elder Vicar?
22.
Cheeky. The Sangio? Mm-hmm.
That's 30.
Zinfandel.
Zinfandel is 30 as well.
Did I miss anything? The Gewurztraminer.
Oh, that was for the original vine?
Yeah.
That's 30. That's $30.
$30. Okay. I got to get that in there. Okay. Well, now that we've done that, how did... can you give me the short story of how Rust Wine Co. became part of Mount Boucherie?
Yeah, it all came part of a package when our owner Sonny Wong bought the winery back in 2016. He also acquired with that the Rust portfolio, which was at that time being called Rustico. And then they decided to get really, really inventive with the name and take out the I of Rustico and just left it Rust and then Wine Co. And it was kind of born from that. So it was the brainchild of Jesse Harnden. He was the guy who thought that Rust is a real analogy for what wine is. It's always developing and always changing. Oxygen is its enemy, which wine is as well, and it just kind of grew from there, so to speak, and it also worked well with the color scheme that we had picked.
Speaking of colors, I've got three Syrahs, all 2018. Yeah. One has a canary yellow wax top, one has a aqua blue wax top, and one has an orange wax top. Tell us about the differences between the three, and then we'll get to reading detail off the label.
Mm-hmm. So the whole concept of the Rust Syrah program was about doing getting three different batches of the exact same grape variety. So picked from three different vineyards in the region, whether it was the Snoqualmie Valley, the Golden Mile, or in Black Sage Bench. And then we also actually, this upcoming year, we have one coming from Okanagan Falls as well, but that's another time. So the idea was to have three different blocks of vine and do the exact same thing to each one of them. So every single thing done in the vineyard was done the exact same way. It was cropped the same amount. When it came to the winery, the sorry, I've got Apocalypse Now happening over top of me. I've got a helicopter landing. So we decided we were going to do the exact same techniques to all the three grape varieties, the exact same oak program, the exact same fermentation techniques. They were all done with whole cluster fermentation. All of them started out as a kind of a spontaneous fermentation using indigenous yeast from the vineyards, and then we finished them up with the exact same cultured yeast to finish the alcoholic fermentation. All stayed in the exact same same type of oaks for the exact same amount of time, and the only thing was we just wanted to check out what would be the difference if the same grapes were done the exact same way but came from three different areas, and just to see what the results were. And the results are, well, you've tasted them now.
They're incredible.
Unbelievable.
No, they're incredible. Yeah. And it was so smart to put the details on the back of the labels. For example, I've got the yellow one. I'm calling it the yellow one. It's Clone 7, 2001, the planting. The aging was in American French oak, 44% new. West-facing aspect, harvested October the 12th, elevation, the finishing, unfined, unfiltered, and the dirt, the soil, volcanic ash mixed with fine granite sand. It's 13.5, the Syrah 2018, the yellow, which is the only way I can say it. The Syrah 2018 blue is from Lazy River Vineyard. And then just for example, almost the same American oak, French oak, 40% new. But the clone was 877, ungrafted, in 1999, southwest facing. The meat is sandy clay loam with limestone and granite rock. So a completely different composition. And finally, bear with me, audience, the orange 2018 Rusco Syrah. The clone is 877, planted in 2002, faces southeast, fluvial fan of gravelly clay and eroded mountain rock. I love that. And the aging is American French oak, 42%, unfined, unfiltered. Wow. Wow. So when did you first taste these, and what overcame, or what were you thinking about as you tasted them all?
Well, you know, the first vintage we did, it was 2017. So I had the opportunity to finish those wines. I never really got to start them. So this was the first vintage. Actually, it's my one and only vintage as the official winemaker for us.
Yep.
Was 2018. So I was able to do these ones right from the get-go, from start to finish. And I was actually just blown away at the differences between them. The expression of Syrah is so unique to it's apparent to me anyway. It's so unique to where the grapes are grown. You know, if you were picking up wildflowers or something like that, you might attribute it to where it was grown. But sometimes the wildflowers we're picking those up in the Similkameen Valley, where there's not really much of anything other than tumbleweed, and the bright fruit that comes from the Golden Mile, you'd think, oh, well, that's going to come through in the Syrah, but it actually the Black Sage Bench, it came out a little bit more prominent. You get all these different meat characteristics and spice characteristics in them, and it's unbelievable just how much difference they can have between them.
By the way, the orange Syrah, the 2018, is from the Golden Mile Bench, specifically the South Rock Vineyard. Now, here's the thing that blows me away. It comes in at 14% alcohol. The blue Syrah 2018 comes in at 14.3, and the yellow from the Forever Vineyard on the Golden Mile comes in at 13.5.
Yeah.
How come?
It's bizarre. Like I said to you. Well, the thing is the Forever Vineyard. We have some things we can say about how the grapes are coming in, but really at that point we're picking on what the farmer wants those grapes to come in at. With our own vineyards, we definitely, you know, we make all the calls on that. Whereas with the contract farmers, you're kind of going on what their schedule is, what, you know, when they can pick. So we got that Ferrera Syrah probably, I'm going to say, maybe 4 or 5 days earlier than the other two Syrahs. So they, you know, they were picked just a little bit lighter than they would have had they stayed an extra couple of days on the vine. You might have picked up an additional half a brick or brick of sugar, which, you know, really does equate to about 1% to 1.5% of alcohol. So, you know, that's really the only difference between them. We're trying as much as possible over the last 3 years now to decrease the amount of alcohol that we're producing, to actually try and get the grapes a little bit more early in their cycle or the ripeness cycle to pick wines that are sort of going to produce around a 13 to 13.5% red alcohol percentage. And, you know, we've been going upwards in the 15% alcohol range for so many years in BC that, you know, it's really hard for me to even drink some of these wines sometimes. There's so much booze in them. So we decided a conscious decision is to lighten up the wines a bit, make them a little bit more approachable, and you can maybe have a little bit more than a couple of glasses and not wake up with a hangover in the morning.
How approachable are they financially?
Oh, $44 right across the board for all of them. It's a random number, but we just wanted to keep that same number across the board for all of them.
How hard are people going to have to chase to find these three wines so they can gather their friends around a table? This would be great, normal thing where you don't have to wear a mask anymore and we're all out of our bubbles. Here's what I want to know. You grab these three Syrahs. Even if you're not a Syrah drinker, you're going to do this experiment from three different regions, three different areas, three different clones, all grown and cellared together in 2018. Now you can taste them side by each. It's fantastic. So how much did you make?
Around 200 cases apiece.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in because this is an amazing experiment. This is an amazing experiment. And only somebody with the mind of someone like you and your friends can put us through a masterclass. It's like Wine 101 right here. Three Syrahs, all 2018 from three different areas. And all of the information you need is on the front and back, are in the front and back labels. Wow. Yeah. That's fantastic. And the coloring is great. You're going to see canary yellow, aqua blue, and orange wax on the ends of these bottles. Look for Rust Wine Co. Whew. Way to go, man. Absolutely beautiful, and I hope you continue doing this in some capacity, somehow, some way. And I know, listen, if this is just the spring releases, I don't know that I can make the fall releases because it stunted my growth. I have to get my stamina back again and start all over. Well done.
Thanks. We're looking forward to a big September release. Once we're able to get people into the building and getting together as a group, we want to have a big frickin' shaker, I'll tell you.
So,
we want to have a party.
So, Jeff, is everything open? Are your tasting rooms open?
Yeah. We're open now 7 days a week. And, it's really a happening spot. Like the restaurant is so busy, and the tasting bar itself is incredible.
Remind people of the restaurant's name.
The restaurant's called The Modest Butcher.
Yep. And it's and they're as crazy as the winemakers. It's a lot of fun. That's what Mont Boucherie is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun for sure.
Okay, thank you for doing this, Jeff. Have a great summer. Let's all get through this together, and we'll gather together in the fall.
Absolutely. You have a great summer, and we'll see you soon.
Don't go away. He's Jeff Hundredmark, and he is the director of winemaking at Mont Boucherie, at Modest Wines and Rust Wine Co. He's a great guy. And you want to follow the wines that he's making because he knows what he's doing. This is Tasting Room Radio. Here's cheers to June. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris, The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. All the details at EnricoWinery.com.